Podcasting from Dallas, Texas, I am Shireen, and this is the Yumlish Podcast. Yumlish empowers people with chronic conditions like type 2 diabetes and heart disease to take charge of their health through diet. And this podcast is created to amplify the voices of patients, health professionals, employers, and community members who are working to reduce the risk of these chronic diseases and put your health first.
Registered dietitian Joyce Verdejo speaks to us about her work in nutrition and specifically within diabetes care, her strong focus on the Latino community, the diversity and richness of foods within this community, her efforts to put bilingual posts together to make information more accessible, and widely held misconceptions around diabetes. Joyce Verdejo has 20 years of experience in dietetics. She obtained a bachelor's degree in science nutrition from the University of Puerto Rico and a dietetic internship from the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Puerto Rico. She's an outpatient dietitian and responsible for guiding the education for clients of all ages with diabetes and their family members. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you on. So, Joyce, diving right in, what led you to work within nutrition and then specifically within diabetes care?
Well, where I have a strong family history of diabetes and I witnesses how my grandfather went through all his complications because he was not managing his diabetes the way that he was supposed to be doing it. And also after that, my dad started having issues as well. And I was so concerned and at the same time afraid of going through the same process that I decided to choose a career that could help me understand better how diabetes work and how nutrition can play a huge role, either delaying or preventing this condition. And that's the reason why I became a registered dietitian.
Mm-hmm. So why the focus on the Latino community?
I'm Latina and I'm from Puerto Rico and I work here with a mixed population community. I see Americans and Hispanic and Latinos, but I have noticed that Hispanic and Latino people with diabetes don't feel comfortable enough to share their concerns and their questions with their providers. So the majority of the time I am a link between the translation and helping that provider understand what's going on. And part of the time I also am just by myself helping them understand what it's the diabetes and what's going on, and they feel again more comfortable reaching out to me and being open. So I noticed that there's a huge gap and necessity for this population here in the United States for providers to help this population as well. And I decided, well, I think I meet the requirements. I am Latina, I speak Spanish, I can relate to them, to what's going on with their life. I can understand the culture and I can help them understand and manage diabetes better.
Now, even when we talk about Latino foods, there's so much diversity across the board, right?
Oh, yeah.
So within the community, there are variances in culture and diet. Which group do you largely speak to and what are some of those variances?
Well, I focus more on Caribbean. I'm from Puerto Rico. It's an island in the Caribbean next to Cuba, Dominican Republic, Haiti. So that's the population that I target more. But I have noticed also that I receive a lot of message and text from people from Venezuela and Mexico. So that doesn't mean that I only work with Caribbean people. I can definitely work with all their Hispanic and Latino ethnicities, and it's okay. It's just knowing where they're coming from and how I can help them do better with their nutrition in order to manage their diabetes. But like you said, yes, there's a huge, it's another podcast. If we talk about food, and each region has their different preference and all of that. So yeah, it's different.
Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about the region is sort of split up with the Caribbean, Central America, and then you've got South America, and even across each of the sections, it's very, very different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, what are your thoughts on the bilingual post to make information really accessible? So what have you learned from that experience of creating that kind of that type of content? How does it resonate with your audience?
Well, I decided to do the bilingual post because I was able to reach more people. There is a lot of Latinos and Hispanic here in the United States that they can speak English and they understand English, but they prefer to get the information in their primary language, that it will be Spanish. That being said, read my post in Spanish, or if I do like a short story, my story are in Spanish. So that resonates more with them. And like I said before, they feel more connected to me and they feel more open to share their concerns and I can help them better. It's like a 50-50%. I will say that I have 50% of my followers that they do better with English post, and the other half in Spanish. So I will continue to do it because, again, not everybody feel comfortable just reading or talking in English. So yeah, I think it's better for them.
And then when you mentioned, speaking to them in that way of that preference in language, how has that aided their journey in managing their, you know, their condition?
Well, they feel that when they read my post in Spanish or they listen to my story in Spanish, they can relate better, and they feel, again, more confident because somehow they understand that I can relate to their story. I can know what's going on with their culture, with their eating habits, with the preference in food, and at the same time, helping them manage the diabetes. So they somehow they appreciate more my, I would say not my effort, but my the opportunity that I'm giving them to have that sort of outlet to get that information from a reliable source, and not getting that information from Google search or Dr. Google, like I said. So that's something that also resonates with them.
Now, what is it to include traditional Latin foods into meals and into even your nutrition therapy that you provide? What kinds of foods are you focused on? What kind of ingredients do you recommend, or swaps that you recommend for such foods?
This is a good question, and I'm glad that you bring this question, because there is so many misconception about the nutrition when on regard diabetes management. Back in the days, I will say maybe 20, 25 years ago, there were so many restrictions or people with diabetes, they cannot eat bread, they cannot eat rice, they cannot eat potato, they cannot eat corn. And all of those are staple foods in our Latin community. So you saying to a Puerto Rican or to a Dominican Republic person, you cannot eat rice. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, what should I eat then? What you want me to eat? How do I feel when I am not eating the food that I like to eat? So that being said, there's no food is off limits. And this may be shocking because there's a lot of influencers and a lot of venues that they says otherwise, that you have to get rid of the carbs, that the carbs are bad, that you cannot manage diabetes if you have if you eat rice, bread, and so on. So again, no food is off limits, and it's just the serving size, how much you are eating, and how to pair the food that you are eating. So if you have a plate like it's just white rice, you for sure, your blood sugar will spike quickly. But if you pair that white rice with maybe half a cup of beans and a piece of chicken, the fiber in the beans, the protein in the chicken will make your sugar spike slowly. That's what we are looking for. So again, it's just having the knowledge of how to pair your food in order to make sure that blood sugar doesn't spike quickly and don't show as a high sugar level or as a low sugar level. Does it make sense?
It does. And so what do you say in terms of quantity of these ingredients or even making healthy swaps?
Yes. So for instance, instead of white rice, you can do brown rice. Has more fiber, will help you make sure that your blood sugar doesn't spike too quickly. That doesn't mean that you cannot eat white rice. You can, but it's better for your diabetes management to switch or choose more often food that has more fiber content, like white rice. For Mexicans, although I know they do a lot of tortillas, but the ones living in here, we usually go to the grocery store and buy the flour tortillas. The flour tortillas are more refined and your blood sugar will spike more quickly. So instead of choosing flour tortilla, just choose corn tortilla. Okay? The corn has more fiber. And again, your blood sugar will spike not as quick as with the flour tortilla. Latinos, and this is on regard Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, we eat a lot of starchy vegetables like potatoes, yuca, malanga. There are names in Spanish that I don't remember. Sorry about that, the name in English. So yuca, malanga, that type of starchy vegetable, it's a good option. Instead of making fried potatoes, you can either bake them or do mashed potatoes. Or if you have the means, you can buy an air fryer. And that's a good option to do your food that has more, that it's cooked in oil, to do it using that type of device to get rid of that extra fat. So, for instance, in Puerto Rico, we eat a lot of tostones. It's a plantain, green plantain, and it's literally fried in like 4 inches of oil. So you can imagine. Right. You can have the same benefits, not the same benefits, let's see, the same flavor and feel at home if you choose to do this with the air fryer instead of deep frying. So stuff like that, it's what we are trying to teach our population. Grilling, it's a good option. You can grill, you can bake, stew, you can cook your chicken like in a type of stew instead of deep frying and get the benefits of the meat, but without the extra saturated fat that we know doesn't make good to people with diabetes.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the widely held misconceptions or points of misinformation when it comes to nutrition?
Misconception, this is a huge one because can interfere with what your healthcare team is trying to address. But the belief or the misconception that the person with diabetes may have can be a barrier between mm-hmm. the physician and the patient. So we need to be careful about that. But one of them will be that if they don't feel sick, they don't visit the physician. In diabetes, and I can say this because, like I said, my dad has diabetes. Some days you don't show symptoms at all. But inside your body, it's fighting a battle that eventually will let you have complications. And not because you're not seeing signs or symptoms, that means that you are doing fine. So making sure that you have your annual checkups, follow-ups with your physician, I think it's a must. Not rely on, okay, I don't feel bad, I don't feel like I'm sick, so there's no need to me to visit a physician. Don't wait until you have a problem. Be proactive, because the only way you can manage diabetes and avoid complications is being proactive. If you wait on, okay, you see your signs and symptoms, it could be too late.
Mm.
It could be too late. A second misconception is that they want to manage diabetes with natural remedies. As Latinos, we have a lot of our grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, they believe in maybe cinnamon, special herb teas, you name it. It's a lot. But using that type of natural remedy will not help manage diabetes. Diabetes is a chronic condition that the majority of the people need either oral medication or insulin. And both of them are okay. And they may be a misc. The person with diabetes can be afraid, can be not into starting medication. But if they don't do so, they will see complications in the future. So relying on natural remedies will not help them either avoid diabetes or cure diabetes, because unfortunately diabetes doesn't have any cure. Mm-hmm. So we need to deal with this. It's there and we need to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I will say that's the second misconception. And the third misconception, it's that they don't want to do medications. That it's related to using natural remedies. So medications such as insulin, they're super afraid of insulin. And insulin has so many benefits for people with type 2 diabetes and can help them make their blood sugar be in range and be better. So I think that's the misconception. I actually make a post about insulin, because it's a lot. I see a lot of people say, no, I don't want to do insulin. And for instance, I know that we are running short in time, but just a quick story. I saw this patient last week, 44 years old, type 2 diabetes for 14 years. And he came to the hospital because he wasn't talking well and he had a stroke. His A1C was 16%.
Oh my.
So that's double what we're looking for. We're looking for 7% or less. Mm. And it was time for him to get on insulin, but he refused for the last 5 years insulin. And having blood sugars constantly high, can trigger eventually strokes and other chronic or debilitating conditions like a stroke like he had. So that's a huge misconception that insulin is bad, that insulin it's doesn't work, that insulin will do me wrong in the, instead of do me better.
Definitely, it's also a combination, right? You look at the medication side of it, which is so important, but you can't also continue to eating in a healthy in an unhealthy way either. So it's sort of like that balance between getting your medication, staying on top of that, and then also looking at your diet very closely.
And physical activity also plays a huge role. So I think that's the perfect combination, like you said, medications, your nutrition, physical activity, and yeah, you can definitely do better.
Sounds good. Well, with that, Joyce, we're toward the end of the episode. So at the end of the episode, I'd like to ask the guests to see how folks here listening can connect. So how can people connect with you? How can they learn more about your work?
Well, my Instagram handle is latin.diabetes.nutrition. They can search for my account that way. And I also have a YouTube channel. That YouTube channel is just Spanish videos about type 2 diabetes. And it's also called the same Latin Diabetes Nutrition. So yeah, they can reach me out. They can send me DMs, and I'm glad to. I always answer all of them. If they have questions, I can make posts about their questions and all of that. So I'm very open to help my community and help them manage this condition, because it's not the end of the life. It's not the end of the world. They can definitely manage this. They just need the right information and the right support. And I'm here for them.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Joyce. I know it is, I really admire your work, because there are only so few that talk about the sort of that cultural relevance when it comes to nutrition and how important of a factor it is to be able to manage health outcomes. So I really admire your work, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this.
So find Yumlish on all the social media accounts linked in our podcast show notes. Our Yumlish socials help you learn more about our mission at Yumlish, keep you updated on helpful tips for managing your diabetes, and giving you access to exciting opportunities with Yumlish. With that, to our listeners in Texas, Yumlish will be running a diabetes management course here in the Dallas region. If you are interested, email us at info@yumlish.com, and we'll connect you over to that. Lastly, if you enjoy Yumlish podcasts and know a healthcare expert working in the nutrition space, reach out to us on Instagram to nominate them. Send us a DM telling us who you want to nominate, what they do, and why you believe their work is making a difference in the lives of individuals to conquer chronic illness. Thank you again. Until next time, stay well.
Thank you for listening to the Yumlish podcast with Shireen. If you like our show and want to learn more, you can find information at yumlish.com. You can also leave us a review here. We will see you at the next one. And remember, your health always comes first.